Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you The District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
The following episode deals with mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Lying on the floor on his hands and knees, Yossi Ginsberg heard the sound of an airplane passing overhead. Lost in the Amazon depths for 3 weeks, Yossi no longer had the strength to lift himself to his feet. He screamed and shouted, but it was to no avail. The airplane disappeared into the clouds. The sound of the engine faded, and Yossi was left alone again, with nothing but wild creatures and endless miles of raw nature in every direction. In this tale of extreme survival, inside the unforgiving Amazon rainforest, you can decide whether Yossi's choices saved his life, or did it all come down to luck? A roll of the dice in this episode of Deadly Misadventures.
Born Yosef Ginsberg in Tel Aviv, Israel, in 1959, Yossi was the son of two Romanian immigrants. His father was a Holocaust survivor who'd been forced to work in a Siberian labor camp for the entirety of the Second World War. When the war was over, they fled Siberia to Israel, where he and his wife settled down. From a young age, Yossi became fascinated with adventure and exploration. He consumed classical literature on the subject, from fiction books to real-life accounts of discovery by notable explorers. Yossi researched the lost treasures of the world, fantasizing one day about being the person who uncovers some of these missing artifacts. Another particular favorite was the tale of the archaeologist Colonel Percy Fawcett, one of the most famous voyagers of the 20th century. Fawcett had set off into the Amazon jungle to search for the lost city of El Dorado. There was an uncontacted tribe he believed lived there. However, Fawcett and his crew disappeared after 5 weeks and were never heard from again. The story would foreshadow some of Yossi's experiences in the same location. Yossi completed his military service at 21, and he left Israel to forge his own path. He worked a series of manual labor jobs, which took him to Norway, Alaska, Mexico, and eventually South America, to the Amazon jungle, where you could follow in the footsteps of his idols, Henry Schreyer and Percy Fawcett.
Now a 22-year-old military graduate with enough money to travel, Yossi Ginsberg was bright-eyed, aspirational, and determined to carve a legacy for himself. However, unlike his heroes before him, Yossi had limited survival experience. Despite a brief stay in the desert during his Navy time, he had never ventured into uncharted territory without aid. and especially nowhere as ruthless as the Amazon rainforest. His naivety would be the spark which brought on the hellish nightmare which followed.
It was October 1981 when Yossi Ginsberg had left home with nothing but a bag on his back. Marcus was the same. He sat next to Yossi, a Swiss gentleman, ex-military, also trekking to South America. Marcus was somewhat of an eccentric character. He boasted psychic powers and the ability to predict the future. One event he didn't foresee was his girlfriend of 9 years leaving him. So he felt that he needed to venture away and soothe his heartache. So he decided to take a trek in the Amazon. Marcus was meeting up with his friend Kevin Gale, who was somewhat of a legend amongst travelers and also Marcus's best friend. He was a Spanish gentleman who was a professional photographer and a passionate environmentalist. From Peru, Yossi and Marcus traveled to Bolivia. At a local motel, Yossi was approached by a stocky Austrian gentleman who introduced himself as Carl Ruprechta. He told Yossi he was a geologist and mostly worked in the jungle. He would survey for gold, uranium, and other antiquities. He said he was just about to leave on a 3-month expedition. According to his findings, the area Carl was heading to was home to an uncontacted tribe of people. Surprisingly, Carl then asked Yossi and Marcus if they'd like to come with him along on his journey. "You can stay as long as you like," Carl said. "You can eat game and sleep in the great outdoors. Your only expense is the plane ticket." This was music to their ears and a great opportunity to explore one of the most mysterious places on Earth, and it had fallen right into their laps. Yossi leaped at the chance, although Marcus was a little hesitant as the locals warned them about the rainy season that was about to begin. The next day, Marcus changed his mind after seeing Carl's plans for the journey. He had packed maps and provided a long list of essential items, including salt, medicine, plastic sheets, and hatchets. Ample food supply was not on the list. He also told them that he had tour guides already waiting for him in the jungle, all who were armed with guns to protect them and even help them hunt for game. Carl appeared to be highly experienced and claimed he knew the rainforest like his backyard. So Yossi and Marcus accepted his offer. Once they met up with his friend Kevin Gale, the combined experience of Carl and Kevin and Yossi's military background, they felt a little safer heading into the depths of the jungle. The men took a rickety aircraft to Palo, Bolivia, where they would be dropped off at the edge of the rainforest. As the plane descended into the airstrip, passengers began to look weary and scared. Yossi peered out the tiny window of the plane and saw the burnt remains of aircraft that had crashed during landing. For many others, their adventure ended here. For Yossi, this fantasy had become much more real.
The Amazon rainforest covers over 2 million square miles of terrain in South America, spanning across 9 different countries. Inside the rainforest, it is believed there exists almost 500 indigenous tribes, some of which have never had contact with civilization. Unlike Hollywood's depictions of the rainforest, much of the Amazon floor remains in permanent darkness due to the density of the canopy. Each year, hundreds of fledgling adventurers fall victim to the Amazon's dangers.
In the first few days, their path was fairly straightforward. The outskirts of the rainforest were packed with ranchers and settlements. Yossi and his crew were able to source meat, milk, and other supplies. The plan, according to Carl, was to follow the Arismas River upstream and then cross a mountain range to the Cocos River. They would then take that river down to the Indian village inhabited by the Lost Tribe. This was all according to Carl. 4 days into the trek, they reached the banks of the river. It wasn't particularly deep, but its current was unnaturally strong. The water was freezing,
and heavy rains had begun falling in the past few hours. The stones on the riverbed cut into their shoes and their feet, and the current nearly swept Marcus downstream on multiple occasions. Night came and the group rested on the riverbank. Yossi asked Carl to tell them more about this mysterious village that they were headed towards. Carl, delighted in telling his tale, he said, "We were looking for gold in a nearby camp. A friend and I had already visited the village before, and he said the Indians knew the location of a large treasure of gold. I got curious. The village had around 600 inhabitants. The women wore grass skirts, and the men spent days hunting and playing games. Not far from the village, there's another tribe who attacked the village, carrying off their women. Whenever the village kills a member of the invading tribe, they cut off their head and shrink it. According to Indian lore, the strength of the dead enemy passes to the warrior who kills him. The more heads an Indian has on his belt, the stronger he's assumed to be." Carl went on to talk about how he's been present during the tribe's cremation rituals. He said they had sung, danced, and drank around a burning body. And then he sat smoking with tribe members until sunrise. As Yossi fell asleep, he prayed that a similar adventure would be waiting for him at their destination. The next day, they arrived at the mountain chain, which led to the Cocos River. They ascended the mountain pass in pairs, Yossi and Kevin, and Marcus and Carl. En route, the group had their first taste of wild game. A group of monkeys had stumbled into their path, so Carl shot one and sliced its neck with a machete. Carl waved the dead animal's body above his head and celebrated. Yossi was repulsed by the idea of eating monkey meat, but his hunger outweighed his disgust.
They followed the Cocos River downstream for 5 days, eventually reaching parts of the rainforest where civilization hadn't. Silver moonlight reflected on the Cocos River, and fireflies danced in the impossibly high trees. It was a beautiful place, perhaps not seen by humans for hundreds of years. There were no traces of human contact anywhere. No litter, no settlements, just pure nature in every direction. But despite their discovery, it was here that tensions between the group began to rise.
Marcus refused to eat the monkey. Instead, he lived off rice and water. His physical condition was beginning to deteriorate. For the first time during the trek, Marcus hung back to walk with Yossi and Kevin, leaving Carl alone. "We don't have enough food to go on," Marcus said. "I'm starting to worry. Maybe we should go back. We can't know for sure we'll even find this village." Kevin reassured Marcus that the food they had would last for 4 days, but Marcus wasn't convinced. Carl caught wind of their conversation and interjected. "We aren't far away now," Carl said. "The day after tomorrow at the latest. We'll fire some shots into the air, and the villagers will come and help us. There we can rest up, we can restock, and we can find out more about the hidden gold." "Onward," Yossi interrupted. "Where's your spirit of adventure, Marcus? If we run out of food, we'll hunt game." Marcus mumbled, "I want to turn back." They sat down, and Marcus took off his boot to reveal that he had developed trench foot. Walking had become extremely painful. The group was at a crossroads. They could not continue with Marcus and considered their options. They could double back 15 miles through the jungle, which could take days, or construct a raft and head 90 miles downriver through treacherous waters. They put it up for a vote, and Kevin was the tiebreaker. Kevin, concerned for his friend, decided they should turn back. Yossi was disappointed but obliged the decision. He trusted Kevin's leadership, but felt they'd come too far to waste their efforts. They trudged through the jungle for days until they realized they weren't finding their way back. With Marcus's growing condition, they couldn't risk injuring him further. The river was beginning to look like their best option. Carl said they could take a raft downstream to the gold quarry named Curry Playa. The same night, Yossi rested at the group's camp while the others continued building. However, this didn't sit well with Marcus. He stormed over and began yelling at Yossi. "For the past week, Carl and I have been making all the arrangements. All you do is sleep. It's an insult to Carl, after all he's done for us." Yossi apologized and tried to talk Marcus back around, but it seemed he had reached his breaking point. "I'm stuck with Carl all day," Marcus continued, "listening to his idiotic stories. I don't have anyone else. You're always talking with Kevin and I'm left out. This whole trip has been a big disaster for me. 2 days into this trip, Kevin even told me that I wasn't cut out for the wilderness. You were all I had left, Yossi. But you only wanted to be around Kevin. Why did you shut me out like that?" Yossi was shocked. "Look, Marcus, I'm sorry. Let's go back to being friends again. We'll go back to La Paz, and everything will be all right."
Although the two were inseparable only a few weeks before, their arduous trek into the jungle had driven a wedge between them. Despite their best intentions, Yossi and Marcus were never friends again.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The next morning, they begin constructing a raft from the thickest trees they could find. The raft was ready, and Carl was designated captain. Marcus and Kevin lowered their poles onto the riverbed and began to push the raft along. Yossi protected the raft from rocks by using a pole to push themselves away. The journey was very difficult, and it became clear that the group had little rafting experience. Carl became more of a hindrance on the raft, rowing in the wrong direction and constantly arguing with the group. After a day of rafting and losing most of their equipment in the river after numerous collisions with rocks, the group reconsidered their options on the shore. Carl, strangely, had become a different person on the raft altogether. "What the hell are we going on for anyway? I must be out of my mind to risk going down that canyon below. No one has ever done it. What if we missed our stopping place and were swept into it? We'll all be killed." He turned to Yossi. "What did you want from this trip anyways? To spend some time in the jungle? To raft down the river? We've done that. I've made up my mind. I'm turning back." Yossi couldn't argue. Carl was in charge. And if he wasn't going any further, then that's that. However, Kevin had a different idea. When Carl and Marcus were out of earshot, he took Yossi aside. "I've got an idea. How about we go it alone?" Yossi couldn't believe what he was hearing. "Think about it. Why did we come here? Carl promised us an Indian village, which was supposed to be the whole point. Remember how he gushed about all the wild animals in the river, the alligators in the lagoons, the gold mining camps? All we have to do is raft down this river and we're there. Why are we giving up now?" Yossi didn't want to give up. Yossi wanted to see all these things.
Kevin had his suspicions,
that Carl wasn't the experienced adventurer he claimed to be. When Marcus caught wind of Kevin's plans to go ahead with Yossi, he asked if he could join. However, Yossi believed he was too sensitive to make the journey, and so persuaded Marcus to return home with Carl. It was a decision that would haunt him for the rest of his life.
So it was decided. They would carry on down the river, and Marcus and Carl would return on foot. "I'll be waiting for you in La Paz," Marcus told Yossi. "Remember that tea house where we used to sit? I'll be waiting there for you, and everything will be all right. We'll get out of here, and we'll be friends just like before," Yossi said. They all shook hands and went their separate ways. Marcus turned around for one last glance at Yossi before he disappeared from sight. Who knew when they would meet again? Yossi and Kevin cleared the camp and returned to the river. They drifted for 2 hours, desperately struggling to control the raft. The current was too strong, and the sticks and logs they used for rowing were solely inadequate. At noon, a whirlpool sent them crashing into a rock, damaging the raft. They fought for 2 hours to get back afloat, but then things only got worse. The cliffs on either side of them encroached the riverbanks, and suddenly, there was no riverbank at all. They couldn't push themselves to shore, and up ahead, they were fast approaching a canyon with a 12-foot drop. "We must be really close to Curry Playa, the island of gold Carl mentioned. If we can find a way to get ashore, we can walk the rest of the way." At this point, they were no longer able to maneuver the raft and were merely passengers on this psychotic roller coaster. The raft crashed directly into a large rock, getting stuck and stranding them in the middle of the river. Kevin said, "I'm going to jump in. I'll reach the bank. When I do, throw me the machete. I'll climb into the jungle and cut a vine. I'll throw the vine to you, then I'll pull you ashore." Yossi shook his head. "No, don't go in the water. It's too dangerous. Wait a while." But Kevin had already jumped in. The current instantly dragged him underwater. Yossi desperately looked for him and breathed a sign of relief when Kevin resurfaced 25 yards away, pulled himself onto the jagged rocks. But suddenly, the raft began to move. "Throw me the machete," Kevin shouted. Yossi threw the weapon, but it was too late. The raft had already unwedged itself. "You're leaving me, Kevin," Yossi shouted. Kevin screamed, "Hang on as tight as you can," although Yossi couldn't hear him over the roar of the rapids. "You're headed for the waterfall. Hang on tight. I'll catch up with you on the other side." The raft surged forward towards the waterfall, pieces of it ripping off as it picked up speed. It was flung into the air and then crashed onto the river's surface with incredible force. Yossi was dragged underwater. Darkness enveloped him. There was nothing he could do but to hold his breath. The undertow applied unbearable pressure on his lungs, and for a second, Yossi thought this was the end. He was still gripping a piece of the raft, which dragged him back to the surface. And for a quick second, he could see Kevin far away in the distance. But this relief didn't last long. The raft submerged again, sucking Yossi down to the riverbed. The current was unlike anything he'd ever felt. But then Yossi realized he had entered the canyon and was about to be swept into the waterfall. As he was pulled to and fro from the surface, he saw a giant rock almost stretch the entire width of the river. Water crashed ferociously against it, sending jets of white foam high into the air. It was only a matter of time before Yossi would be hurled into it. Not wanting to witness his own death, he closed his eyes. He was flung into the air and then found himself beneath blackened waters, unable to see anything. He felt agonizing pain in his eyes, ears, and chest as he was desperately kicking upward to reach the surface. It was only a matter of time before Yossi would be hurled over the edge. After what seemed like an eternity, he took his first breath. The river was wider and the current much milder. He had fallen down the waterfall and escaped with his life. The raft was in ruins. All their equipment was lost, including their backpack and food supplies. And Kevin was nowhere to be seen. Yossi was alone and thought to himself, Carl, why didn't I listen to you? Marcus, why was I cruel to you? Now I'm being punished for my mistakes.
Yossi was alone in a part of the world very few people had ever seen. The nearest civilization was a 2 weeks walk away, but in what direction, Yossi had no idea. In the 3 weeks which followed, his survival skills were pushed beyond the boundaries of human possibility.
Yossi made his way back upstream, finding his broken raft stranded against the rocks. And by some miracle, he found his backpack, loaded with rice, beans, a flashlight, medicine, and, most importantly, a small book given to him by his uncle. Like his father, his uncle was a Holocaust survivor also, and had given him the small book to protect him from harm. But finding his backpack came with a dark realization. If Yossi had all the supplies, then Kevin had nothing. Kevin was alone, somewhere out there, with only the clothes on his back. Yossi backtracked the river, trying his best to retrace his steps. He began to follow a path on the mountain range, finding more suitable camping locations than the riverbank. By night, he started a fire with the matches he had, cooked himself some rice, and slept until sunrise. It was now December 5th, 1981. Yossi had been in the jungle for 5 weeks. He had been stranded alone for 5 days. The mountain pass had taken him back into the heart of the jungle, where he was exposed to flesh-eating insects and wild beasts. There were no caves to hide in, nor did he have any weapons to protect himself. His stomach was constantly growling with hunger, and an overwhelming sense of fear began to take its toll on his physical and emotional well-being. Each night when he slept, he hallucinated that Kevin was right there with him. But when he woke up, he was always alone. On the fifth night, Yossi was awoken by the sound of snapping branches. He thought, it's just your imagination, and willed himself back to sleep. However, the sound got louder. Footsteps were only yards away, so Yossi leaped up and pulled out his flashlight. For the first time in 6 days, he wasn't alone. Two glowing eyes stared back at him. A beast raised one paw in the air and stood perfectly still like a statue. It was a wild jaguar stalking him. Remarkably, Yossi didn't panic. He grabbed the first thing his hands could reach, can of insect repellent and a cigarette lighter. He clamped the flashlight between his teeth and thought, will this just make him mad? He clicked the lighter and sprayed the insect repellent, sending a jet of flames directly at the beast. He heard a sudden rustling, air filled with the scent of burnt hair. He held the flame until the insect repellent ran out and then searched the area. The jaguar had vanished. Beneath the light of the moon, Yossi grabbed his belongings and left.
With no repellent, mosquitoes and giant fire ants found their way into every inch of Yossi's skin as he trekked through the jungle. It was an exhausting battle to keep them from sucking his blood, and one which he fought 24 hours a day. Fruit trees and nest eggs became his only source of nourishment. His clothes had been torn apart by thorns. The constant damp ground in the rainforest had caused an agonizing rash on his feet and legs. But even worse than this was that the hallucinations were becoming worse.
Two 2 weeks into his solitude.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Yossi believed he was very close to the border of San Jose, at least according to Carl's map. It was now December 14th. Surely one of them had informed authorities that he was missing. Weren't they looking for him? Would it even be possible to find him? Even if he stayed in one place, how could anyone find him in an area of land over half the size of the U.S.? "Don't go out of your mind," Yossi said aloud. He snapped himself back to reality and continued moving. Walking had become torture. The skin on his feet had peeled away from the constant damp and pressure. The jungle would flood, and the severe wind chill froze him to the bone. He rationed out a few tablespoons of rice a day, along with any rotted fruit or nest eggs he happened to find. It wasn't until his 17th day alone that a brief glimmer of hope presented itself. Yossi heard the mechanical whirling high above the treetops. He saw a white airplane. He ignored his injuries, jumped to his feet, and began waving his arms frantically. The drone faded away, and Yossi fell back onto the ground, suddenly aware of the excruciating pain in all of his body. He lay there helpless, waiting for death. "I can't take it anymore. Please, God, stop this suffering. Just let me die." Yossi looked over and saw a young girl, her head in her hands, with tears streaming down her face. "The plane didn't see us. It just went by." He didn't recognize her, nor did he know how she got there. "Don't worry. They'll be back tomorrow," Yossi said. "They couldn't see us through the trees, but they'll never stop looking. Whether they find us dead or alive, we'll just have to help them find us." Yossi had an idea. "Why don't we head to shore, which we can stand on?" He remembered he had seen a beach 3 days before, but had avoided it due to the jaguar prints on the ground. The mysterious girl said, "That's a great idea. It's a huge beach." Yossi changed his direction for the third time in 24 hours. He had a renewed energy with his new companion. His legs could barely carry him, and climbing over any more rocks was impossible. Instead, he crawled across them with his elbows, shifting his weight to his upper body. His arms were littered with painful red marks, and a rash covered his entire body. His fingers and hands had turned to a sticky shade of white. The soles of his feet were skinless, and white pus oozed from his wounds. Yossi's body was rotting away. But he kept moving. He had to, for his new friend. She was weak, and if he gave up, he'd be leaving her alone. He couldn't abandon another person.
Yossi didn't stop talking to the girl for 2 days. She kept him alive by simply existing. However, the plan to return to the beach didn't work. They followed the map, but the beach was nowhere to be found. In its place was a swamp, somewhere Yossi hadn't yet been. They had gone the wrong way.
Yossi was in a panic state, and he felt there was only one option left: committing suicide, taking his own life. He got stuck in the bog, which started to pull him beneath the ground. Within minutes, he was afraid he might suffocate. He took off his pack and pulled out the pills inside. There were around 30 of them, but he had no idea what they were. He held them in the palm of his hand, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. Not like this, he thought. It's too easy to die like this. You're off to paradise. But what about your mother? What would this do to her? It isn't fair to give up now. He struggled for almost an hour. He kicked out his legs with every ounce of strength he had and freed himself from the mud. He was still alive, for now. More horrors came that night. As he slept, he was being swarmed by an army of leafcutter ants and termites. He woke up to find them in his ears, on his eyelids, down his trousers, all over his body. Thousands of ants biting into his flesh. However, he felt the pain was a welcome respite from the agony of his infections. He jumped to his feet, and Yasi and the girl continued to find the beach. Each time they came to an incline, Yasi had to make the journey on his hands and knees. He came across a palm tree swarming with the same ants from the night before. Yasi shook the tree so the insects rained down upon him. They gnawed away at his flesh, causing sudden stinging and burning sensations. But the pain was a distraction from everything else. It forced him to carry on. He fell into another swamp and got stuck. Again, he longed for death. However, by some miracle, an unseen force pulled him to safety. He had no idea what could have done it. He assumed the little girl wasn't strong enough, but was relieved when he was pulled out. A beach came into view, but it wasn't the same beach he was searching for. Near the shore, Yasi found a small hut. He laid out his poncho, which was now riddled with holes from termites, and he laid down. He thought it was a good place to die. It was day 19. No planes overhead, no one searching for him. And Yasi realized why. It was Saturday. Everybody was at home with their families, something Yasi would never see again. In 5 days, it would be Christmas. No one would look for him until the beginning of January, at which point he'd have been alone for a month. He doubted anyone would believe he was still alive. He expected the search would be abandoned. It was just him and this strange girl until death put an end to their misery. He would hallucinate sounds of helicopter engines, but the skies were barren. Afternoon turned to dusk, and then another night in the jungle would come, with new challenges and terrors to fend off. Another droning sound appeared from nowhere, and Yasi tried to shake it off. But this time he couldn't. The sound became deafening. He panicked, thinking a bee had dug its way into his ear. He'd removed many insects from his flesh during the last month. He rolled over and smacked at his head and looked up and saw something he hadn't seen in a long time. Across the river, four silhouettes exited a canoe and made their way towards him. Yasi leaped to his feet. Feeling no pain at all, he began to run towards them. He tried to scream, but nothing came out. "Don't move. Stay where you are. I'm coming for you," a voice boomed out from the jungle noises. Unlike the strange girl, the man who ran towards him was very real. Tears began streaming down Yasi's face. This wasn't his imagination. It had been weeks, but to Yasi, it felt like an eternity since he had seen Kevin Gale. After being separated earlier, Kevin had made his way to a local village, and from there he made his way back to La Paz. He informed the Israeli ambassador of their doomed journey and pleaded for them to search for Yasi, but they were unwilling to help. Kevin never gave up and asked a local named Tico for help. He was known as King of the River. 3 days into their search, they had found Yasi. Kevin also visited the Swedish embassy to report Marcus and Carl missing. There, Kevin discovered that Carl was not who he claimed to be. He was a criminal, wanted by both Austrian authorities and Interpol. They refused to send a search party for him, preferring that Carl die in the jungle. He also found out that the village Carl claimed to be rife with gold didn't exist. Yossi spent 3 months in the hospital, recovering after being rescued.
What was it that allowed Yossi to survive this harrowing experience? Was it pure luck, or was it a survivalist intuition? There's no doubt that Yossi's incredible willpower kept pushing him forward despite his crippling injuries. Each time death reared its ugly head, Yossi found ways to crush past it, both physically and mentally. Although he may have been an inexperienced explorer, he was a born survivor, and it was extreme coping strategies that in the end gave Yossi Ginsberg the ability to stay alive. After surviving his deadly misadventure, Yossi went on to become a motivational speaker, author, and entrepreneur. He also married and has 4 children. Marcus Strom and Carl Rochprechter have never been found.